This is the second episode of Trump's playbook. We are still, Joe, in the studio of RTV Rijnmond. We are our guest here, so thank you very much again for RTV Rijnmond to host us. And this is, after our introduction, let's say the first episode where we are going to talk about, let's say, the content of our podcast. And the basis for our podcast, that's also in our title, is the Trump's playbook. And the playbook, Joe, for everything what's happening in the United States now is what they call the Project 2025. That's the big playbook. Can you tell and explain to our listeners what is exactly the Playbook 2025?
Well, Project 2025 is a conservative playbook, basically, I would call it. It's a policy book. It started out with the Heritage Foundation, and Heritage Foundation and recruited others. Mm-hmm. The Heritage Foundation is a conservative NGO, a non-public organization. Well, it's not an NGO. It's a political organization, basically.
Okay. Is it something like what we call a wetenschappelijk bureau, or is that too conservative?
Well, we'd just call it a think tank, basically. It's a conservative
think tank.
And it was started in the 1970s.
In the 70s already.
Yeah, 1973, yeah. I think it was actually, actually founded. And it started a series of basically books. The series is called Mandate for Leadership. And they basically give conservative policies for decision makers, for government. The first one that really became notable was Ronald Reagan, when Ronald Reagan became president. And they time them, these books, when they release them, it's a series, mm-hmm. usually right before a presidential election. And where Heritage Foundation and this Project Mandate for Leadership, the series got a lot of attention was Ronald Reagan picked it up and basically gave it to copies of it to his cabinet.
By the way, Joe, this Heritage Foundation, is that a Republican club or do they also have, let's say, Democratic members?
I would call it a Republican club, basically.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
But
yeah.
I mean, club is not really the right word, but it's a think tank. So it's where they basically are developing conservative policy for the future.
Okay.
Or to change things that are present, basically.
Yeah.
And it started, like I said, the Heritage Foundation started in 73, I think. The Project 2025 was launched in April of 2022. And the budget was $22 million to basically write this policy playbook for the Trump administration. Yes, Biden was in power, and then the plan was, of course, to undo what Biden had done and push forward, what Trump didn't do during his first administration. And the first administration, even conservatives thought it was rather chaotic. The Republicans that didn't get things done that they wanted.
Yeah, because they were surprised that Trump won, eh?
It was a surprise that he won.
Yeah.
Plus, he didn't have anything in place for his transition.
Yeah, so he wasn't well prepared.
So this whole playbook was written for that purpose.
Okay.
It's written, and it was written by mostly people. There were, I think, 38 contributors, something like 31 of them. Mm-hmm. Had either prior positions with the Trump administration or were on the transition team. So they had formal Trump, basically, positions at some point.
Okay.
And it's broken into, I think, 27 chapters, and each chapter is basically policy. I mean, these chapters then formulated what the executive orders that he came out with the very first day, right? And these policies are basically things like destroying international aid development, AID, Agency for International Development, taking away the Department of Education, for everything he's basically implemented or started to implement with the executive order, start there.
Okay.
And the playbook itself, I mean, there's been a lot of discussion about whether Trump knew about it, participated in it.
Yeah. Because that's what I recall during the election period, that he was criticized or asked about this project, and he said, well, I'm not going to use it or whatever.
Yeah, he denied knowledge of it or participating in it. But he did embrace the Heritage Foundation, and the Heritage Foundation, he knew they were writing it, And he even said, I think, at a, he appeared at one of their conferences saying that all these good things about the future of the of what they were doing. So he was aware of it. Trump doesn't read anything, basically. Did he read it? Probably not.
Okay.
Was he really aware of what was in it? Probably not. Mm-hmm. But the people he wrote it were the people that basically had his ear and the people that he trusted.
Okay.
In trust today.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. And that's really, so it was a coup d'etat, basically, the playbook.
Yeah. And the playbook, it's a very big book, so to say, because I think it's like more than 1,000 pages or whatever.
Close. I think it's 980 pages.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
And why was it so criticized?
Well, some of the 2025, what's in it, is very, very controversial. It's far right. Okay. I mean, far right, you know, just as you go far left.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you might be to the left part of the spectrum, but when you go far left, it's
what we call extreme rechts, or?
Extreme.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Parts of it are very extreme. Okay. Other are more normal, conservative, Republican sort of policy making.
Okay.
So lots of it, and you know, it's not usable. The whole thing is not usable. But everything that he's implemented, you're going to find basically some kind of basis for it in the Project 2025.
Yeah,
that's it's written by people who he's appointed in his cabinet.
Yeah,
parts of it,
mm-hmm.
And they're basically implementing those changes. And the first major thing that the 2025 playbook says is basically get rid of the career employees, the ones who are there for their nonpartisan, right? They're not Republican or they are there for a job, and that is basically to run the government.
Yeah,
those are what we call career employees.
Okay, yeah.
And one of the first orders was to basically change from most employees from career employees in the government.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the loyal Republican.
Okay.
The people who are basically loyal to him.
Yeah.
And that's what you see in everything in the whole administration, right?
Mm-hmm.
You take.
But before you go to that, if we take this example, this project 2025 was put online, I think, last year or something. It was rather transparent, so to say.
Oh, it was transparent from the beginning.
Yeah.
You could buy it before Trump was elected, and so nothing. So
it couldn't be a surprise that this was, let's say, the first decision that Trump took, or not.
No, it should not have been any surprise to anyone that he was going to take that playbook and run with it.
Yeah,
and because that his people, the people that he basically appointed in the positions in the transition, are the people who wrote those chapters in the book.
Yeah.
So they're basically executing, and the executive orders are basically orders to execute basically the plan that's in there. It's maybe not be as extreme as some of the things that are in there, but everything basically that he's done, all right, is in there.
And also this example you gave about his career employees that were
part of an executive order.
Of an executive order that were replaced by Republican employees. In the playbook.
They changed them from. So most of the government, it's purposely set up that way. You have career employees who are there. When administration changes, they stay. Otherwise, you know, the government wouldn't be able to run. And they carry on the government, basically.
Yeah.
But they're supposed to be nonpartisan, all right? Not Republican, not Democrat. Well, they are, of course, either one or other parties. But at least not outwardly when they do their jobs.
Yeah.
Okay? Impartial. Yeah. What Trump has done is basically reduced the career employees to a very minimum, all right, and changed those jobs into political appointees. So now they take basically a loyalty oath to Donald Trump.
Yeah,
to do his doings.
But
that changes the whole scheme of the government. That's what you see in the Justice Department, Department of Justice.
The DOJ. But how is it possible that people like government employees can be fired so easily? That's impossible in the Netherlands. I think that the employees in the Netherlands have even more rights to defend labor law than other people.
In the Netherlands, of course, you know, in the U.S., just generally, right, it's contract by will. All right,
so contract by will.
So usually, if you start a job, even as a lawyer for a law firm, you can be fired with hardly any notice.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
You can be fired for cause, of course, immediately.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Yeah, but then it's the same year. Yeah.
But then if they give you notice 2 weeks, yeah, it's your general notice period. But it's a totally different system. And the government has more protections, all right, but they're not close to what you have here in the Netherlands as making people redundant.
Yeah.
Or furloughing them, as Trump calls it in the U.S.
And do they get any indemnization if they're fired? Or?
Yes, but it's depends. Usually in your contract, it will have something, but it's not really controlled by the courts. It's a contract by will. So it's really between two willing parties.
Yeah.
What are you going to get if you leave voluntarily? If you get fired for cause, you get virtually nothing.
So as an employee, you have a very uncertain position in the U.S.
It is in general, yes.
Yeah,
for sure.
Okay, I didn't know that. Yeah.
For sure. But that's always been sort of the American way of looking at the labor market. All right, it allows more freer movement of labor between jobs.
Yeah.
All right, if this company...
And that's in the interest of the employer, so to say.
It's in the interest of the employer more than it is in the interest of the employee, yes.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That's always been, you know, U.S. capitalism at its, I guess, at its worst or at its best.
And Joe, if we again take this example of replacing the career employees, if you told me that you fly it for Kamala Harris, did Kamala used, let's say, the negative parts of this project 2025 in her election campaign?
Not really.
And why not? Really. Why not?
Because Trump. Trump never endorsed it, basically. Even in debates, he said he had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Because he knew it could affect him negatively.
Yes. He knew that it could affect him negatively. Yeah. And I really don't believe he read it. You know, tell him what, you know, we're writing this chapter about this and that's it. And he says yay or nay.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he's not a reader. I mean, that was a problem with him. Constantly, it's always been a problem. The whole thing about the mandate for leadership, which is Project 2025, the first rule is basically get rid of all the career employees, put in loyal people so they execute your agenda.
Yeah.
And the agenda then becomes, the playbook is really Project 2025. And then the 27 chapters, it became the executive orders, which are, of course, you know, in the courts today, up and down and all sideways, most of them.
Yeah.
But that's really the takeover of the government.
Okay. And I always wonder, how do they find those Republican employees? Because of course, you can say it very easily, but you should have a very good organization to find in all kind of levels in the government people who can be replaced.
The people that to replace the people in the government?
I would say both categories.
Yeah, well, the appointees, a lot of these political appointees are people who have been either in the government before for other Republican administrations, Bush administrations, some go back to Reagan. So they're around, and they've usually what they've been doing, you know, when they come out of the administration, they'll work for a think tank like the Heritage Foundation. Yeah. There are hundreds of them. They're more focused around certain issues. You have them for religious nationalism. You have them for, you know, anti-abortion. You have them for, you know, anti-gay. They're conservative groups that basically are think tanks. Yeah. They come under names, whole spectrum of different names. But they're out there. And then when the Heritage Foundation put together this plan, right, they went to those organizations. They took people from there and said, we want you to write a chapter about religious nationalism.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Right, putting religion back in the schools, right? We want, you know, that's the focus of your think tank. Write us a chapter on that. And, you know, that's basically how it was put together.
And does the Democratic Party also has a similar Heritage Foundation or not?
No, there are several, of course, think tanks, foundations out there on the Democratic side. There are many, but none of them have been as successful as putting together something like Project 2025.
Yeah, yeah. Okay,
and that's something that the Democratic Party really is a problem.
Yeah,
for the future.
Yeah,
And to be honest, you know, when I came back and I campaigned, like we talk about, you know, for Kamala Harris, when I came back, I got these messages from the Democratic Party, Ken Martin, who is now, I think, the head of the Democratic Committee, basically saying, give us your thoughts. You know, how can we change? So I wrote emails. I wrote an email, never got a response. Wrote another email, said, well, you didn't respond to that. So I wrote it to the local Lancaster Democratic Committee, where I, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, where I actually campaigned, said, you know, give me an answer. Someone tell me, why aren't you putting together, where's the plan? Yeah. Said, this Project 2025 is basically what's being rolled out. Where's the plan for 2028? No one answered.
Okay. And if we are talking about numbers, numbers of people being replaced in the government, it's now November 25. We are still in 25. How many employees more or less are replaced until now? And is it still going on?
It's still going on. And I'd say there are tens of thousands that have been replaced. Tens of thousands have been laid off, basically, you know, closing down the Department of Education, Agency for International Development, other changes.
Yeah.
You know, tens of thousands have been either made redundant, laid off from the government for good, or their jobs have been changed from being a career employee job to basically a political appointee job.
And what's more or less the difference between those two?
Well, the political appointee is Trump gets to pick the person. And he's going to pick a loyalist.
Okay,
so,
yeah,
so
yeah,
his
yeah.
jobs, he's changed the definition of the job.
Yeah.
He's forced out the career people out.
Yeah.
He's replaced them with political appointees.
Okay. Okay, and if we go back to, let's say, the headline of this episode, we started with the observation, and that's more or less your observation, of course, that the Playbook 2025 that was released in 2022 is, let's say, the basis for what the Trump administration is doing right now, eh, Joe?
Yes.
Yeah. And replacing career employees is one of the many, many examples that were written down in this book, so to say.
Yeah, just one. And it was in the his executive order regarding Schedule F.
Okay.
It was called the expansion of presidential powers, implementing Steve Bannon's call. This is basically in 2017. And this is what Steve Bannon said, destruction of the administrative state. And it was an executive order then that Trump rolled out for Schedule F, is what they call the career employee schedule.
Okay.
To basically get rid of it and change it into basically the political appointees.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And therefore, you know, you can put in your own people. They're going to be loyal to you. At least that's the plan. And that's what you see.
I think it's good also for listeners to finish this second episode for now. And in the third episode, we continue, I guess, Joe, with the playbook again and the Project 2025, because this was one of the many examples that are happening now in the United States based on the Project 2025.